was raining outside, and my power was out for a big chunk of the morning. I was like, oh, God, am I going to be able to get on the air or not? Thankfully, the power came back. There was some big fire somewhere. Lindsay and I had a prep call a little while ago. There were terse words spoken.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you mad at each other or just the mood?
I think it was probably my doing. I'm guessing it was all my doing. Lindsay, would you say it was all my doing?
Are you like delusional? What do you mean? Terse words spoken.
Terse words. We had terse words, Lindsay.
One of those things where you just make something up for the show?
No, this is a true story.
I can't tell you how many times Mason has called me the day after a show and gone, man, we shouldn't fight on the air like that. I was really uncomfortable with that. And I would go, what are you talking about? And so anytime there is conflict in Mason's world, he makes it into a mountain.
So
even
if
it's a molehill.
If she didn't know there was a fight, it's okay for me to say, I won.
Of course it is. Yeah,
because yeah,
whatever you got to say to get you through the day. I just figured you're just having one of those days, you know.
It's one of those days. It's a weird day.
You know who's having one of those days?
Who?
The Lakers. Have you looked at the injury report?
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
Okay, but Mace, you talk about making lemons out of lemonade. I have something I want to throw at you. Well, first of all, let's let everybody in on what I'm talking about. Last night the Lakers played the Suns. And about an hour before the game, a couple hours before the game, they said Marc Gasol out due to health and safety protocols.
Yep.
So we knew Marc Gasol wasn't going to play. Then right before the game, Kyle Kuzma out. Bad heel. He had a sore heel.
Yeah.
All right. Then during the game, Alex Caruso, neck spasms, out. So now we got no Anthony Davis, no Marc Gasol. No Kyle Kuzma.
No Caruso.
No Alex Caruso. And then right after the game, the Lakers announce LeBron not going to Sacramento.
Right.
Okay, so we could be. Now, I know some of those guys could come back. We won't find out for a couple hours. But there is a camp, Mace, a camp of people, of which I tend to be the leader, the ringmaster of.
Right.
That love Talen Horton-Tucker. Is this not our chance? The people that are in the Talen Horton Tucker fan club, is this not our night?
Yeah.
If all those guys don't play, and I'm not saying they're not gonna. I don't know. I know LeBron's not playing, and I know AD's not playing. But other than that, I assume Marc Gasol's out. Don't know about Kuz. Don't know about Caruso. But let's say, for the sake of discussion, they're all out. Would this not be the night for Frank Vogel to turn THT loose? Just say, you, Talen, eat first. Take the ball and go. What do you think?
Well, I mean, he went for 16 last night. He was the best player off the bench last night. In spurts, he's been fantastic this year. I don't see why they wouldn't just say, you know, and frankly, it may be out of necessity. I mean, if...
Well, he could do it the other way. He could, because he's got veterans that expected to come in here and play major minutes. And would it be an insult to guys like Markieff Morris and Wes Matthews, if you didn't start them?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could make that.
Which is fine. Okay, so he wants to start, because Frank's got to keep, you know, he's part of his job is he's got to keep the chemistry of the team together. He's got to keep it whole. So if he wants to start those guys, fine. But
depending on Kuzma, depending on Caruso, there's got to be 30 minutes for Talen Horton-Tucker
tonight.
Totally
agree. And here's the problem last night with THT. He would have played even more last night if he didn't have five fouls. He couldn't stay out of foul trouble, which I think is important tonight. But the Suns are good and have a lot of star players, not so much with Sacramento. Sacramento, you would think that Talen could kind of keep a lid on it. But last night he only played 19 minutes, but he went 6 of 9, had 16 points. I think that given the opportunity, and I think tonight that opportunity is going to come, that Talen Horton-Tucker might go off. Might. So that's what I'm excited to see.
That would be great. I for one, am glad to see that LeBron James is officially having his first game off.
Yeah, me too. Especially with the All-Star game coming up.
Yeah, because it means once over the next 7 days does he play, and it's the All-Star game, and you wouldn't expect that to be significant minutes at all on Sunday Are we in Atlanta this year? Is that where it is? It all seems disengaged. I don't even know where the hell we are. So it's in Atlanta this year. But, yeah, so he's going to get 6 of the next 7 days off, which is great and which is healthy and which gives him a chance to rebound for the second half of the season. So I'm really optimistic about that, very excited about that. And, yeah, Sacramento's they're awful. So Sacramento is a team that you can beat shorthanded.
Well, maybe not this shorthanded. I don't know how, you know, no LeBron, no AD, no Kuzma, no Caruso, no Gasol.
Well, we don't know if those guys are all out.
Right, but if that happens, that'd be a very tall order. Now, what's kind of a bummer is that the second best rookie in the league plays for Sacramento. Nobody knows about him because he's stuck in Sacramento. But it's a kid named Tyrese Haliburton who is played in college, was a college teammate of Talen Horton Tucker's at Iowa State.
Oh, wow.
But he has won Rookie of the Month in both December, January, and February. Not LaMelo, Tyrese Haliburton. And he's second in almost every category. I think LaMelo's going to win Rookie of the Year, but Haliburton will be first-team All-Rookie. And if you redid the draft, Mace, he would go in the top 5.
Okay, but let's rethink that a little. Where did Haliburton go in the draft?
13th, I think.
13th, okay. So if he's winning Rookie of the Month for three straight months?
Oh, well, December they only played 5 days. Remember they started around Christmas?
So what's to believe? And by the way, LaMelo is fantastic. He's on my fantasy team. He's unbelievable. But why is there not to think that Haliburton would be Rookie of the Year?
Is
it because LaMelo is a bigger star?
Yes, and to be completely candid and honest, nobody sees Haliburton because he's stuck in Sacramento on a bad team.
Right.
The Charlotte is a very big league pass team. As a matter of fact, Zach Lowe and Bill Simmons did a podcast last week where they ranked their league pass teams, and Simmons took Charlotte number 1.
Is it because of LaMelo?
Yeah, primarily.
LaMelo is so good.
And you know, they play fast, they go up and down, blah, blah, blah. I mean, some people have Brooklyn in the top 5, some people have the Lakers because LeBron and AD, but Charlotte is kind of the new Charlotte and New Orleans are kind of the new league pass teams that everybody's keeping an eye on.
Right.
But this is I buried the lead here. Haliburton is out tonight. He has a calf strain, so we're not going to see him, which is even further evidence that Talen Horton Tucker might go off, because they would have put Haliburton on him because they know each other. But Halliburton's not going to play. So, and neither is Hassan Whiteside. This is going to be an opportunity tonight for Buddy Hield is even on the injury list. Buddy Hield has played 260 straight games. He hasn't taken it. So I think Buddy will probably play, but because he always plays. But the Lakers could win this game. I know that you hear no LeBron, no AD, no way. But this is a team that's lost 10 of 11, Sacramento. And Mace, they lost a game on Sunday night. Think about this for a second. They were up 9 with a minute to go, and they had the ball, and they lost.
Wow. Up 9 and they lost.
You got to try. Yeah, they missed 5 free throws in the final minute and gave up 3 threes.
Wow.
So, and then I think it's a perfect time for the break, because as you can see, the Lakers are starting to break down.
Yep.
And that probably has something to do with the fact that they only had 71 days and now they can all take a week off, everybody except LeBron.
Yeah, not even probably. It definitely has something to do with that.
Right.
There's no question.
So I hope a lot of these guys just find a lounge chair someplace and sit in it rather than grind.
By the way, anytime you want to jump into the show, 877-710-ESPN, whatever you got, 877-710-ESPN. If you get through, you get a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. And by the way, coming up for you at 1:55, a major announcement. John, do you know what I'm talking about? 1:55, major announcement.
I hope the audience is as excited about it as we are.
I think they are. I think they are going to be. So John, one of the other interesting things that has come up in the last 24 hours is an interview. We've talked about Trevor Bauer's agent, Rachel Luba.
Yeah, and there's fairly decent evidence out there that the two of them might be dating.
Yeah, but aside from that, she did an appearance, and do we have this, Jorge? Is this in the system ready to go? She did an interview, I think, with Barstool Sports, and one of the things that she talked about is, do you remember how the day that Trevor Bauer actually signed?
Okay.
there was a leak of a Trevor Bauer Mets cap, autographed Mets cap that came out.
Okay.
And everybody in New York thought, that's it. He's coming. He's coming to the Mets.
I know that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's certainly what I thought. Now, Rachel Luba describes it a little bit differently.
I started getting screenshots at one point of a Linktree thing with the LFG. What is it? LFGM. I don't have any like say, control, or anything to do with that stuff. That's all Trevor's marketing. But we're dealing with this. So I just like shot up next to Trevor. I was like, hey, have you seen this? What is this? And he was like, what the f-? So, you know, we get on the phone with him and he was just like, it's f-ing over. Like, I'm done. Just call the Dodgers. It's done. Like, it's going to be the other team. The Mets. And I've known Trevor for a really long time. And I know I just like didn't feel right about it. I called him back and I said, you know, listen, I need you to be honest with me. Like, how you reacted just now, did that have anything to do with the merch thing going up and that what just happened there? And mm-hmm. he was like, yeah, but I can't do that to a fan base. Like, this decision's been made. And I was like, I understand this is we can figure out what just happened there, like in another day or two, but I need you, like you are not making a life-changing decision on this. You're not. Go put your shoes on, go walk outside. I need you to take a walk around the block, leave your phone where it is and just think. And, you know, he was like, all right, like, I'll do that. And called him back like 10 minutes later. I'm like, do you have any clarity? And he was just like, yeah, I think so. I'm like, all right, so what is it? It's like Dodgers.
Okay, so here's what's interesting about that. Remember, that day was a crazy day because I remember seeing the Trevor Bauer autograph Mets cap and thinking, it's over, we didn't get him. They are now claiming, or at least she is now claiming, and in part he is making this claim, that that was a total accident, that happened just completely by accident. And in fact, Trevor felt so bad about it that he almost went and signed with the Mets anyway. Do you believe their story?
All right. So who leaked the actual picture? Does he admit that it was his autograph and his hat?
It was his social media team. It was his merch team.
Well, here's what I think probably happened. Bauer, throughout this, and Lindsay kept making reference to this, you know, while it was going on, he was just trolling everybody. You know, he was
correct.
He would send out a tweet like, hey, Angels, looks like you need a top line starter. What's up? Hey, Padres, don't you think I'd look good in that rotation? You know, blah, blah. So he was constantly trolling. My guess is, unlike you and I, Trevor Bauer probably has 6 or 7 people that have access to all of his social media credentials and keep his account up and running, or even one other person would do it. And I think his spirit in this from the beginning was, I'm going to troll a whole bunch of teams and, you know, get people talking. So, Mace, I think it's possible someone other than Trevor sent that out and it just took on a life of its own. So, yeah, I actually think it is possible they're telling the truth. Do you think they're just making it up?
I do not. I think they're making it up because they know how bad Trevor looked in light of him not signing with the Mets and how much criticism there was. Hey, how could you do that to an entire fan base that now they've invented this story about these mythical people who may have done this and may have done that, and Trevor felt so bad he almost went and signed with the Mets anyway.
No, I think a lot of famous people, a lot of famous athletes have other people do their social media. I can tell you how many times I'm watching a game and I'm watching James Harden and then I see a tweet from James Harden in the middle of the game. Well, obviously he didn't send that out. Somebody has his credentials.
So but Trevor Bauer, why would they tweet out? You think something as important as this? In other words, Bauer autographed Mets cap. That's what gets accidentally tweeted out? So wait a minute.
Not what happened. It didn't accidentally get tweeted out. Like she said, it was a Linktree, which is an e-commerce site. So he has a separate, he has a website like trevorbauer.com. You can buy merchandise on that website. And, you know, the slogan that she's referring to is "Let's effing go Mets," right? Yeah. So apparently somebody that does his marketing and is a merchandise for his website, the trevorbauer.com website, put something on there that was LFMG, which would, or whatever the acronym is, to indicate that he was signing with the Mets.
Correct.
So somebody somewhere saw that on there, and that person tweeted it out. I think it was just the e-commerce website happened
posted it by accident.
So, Lindsay, do you agree with me that it was someone other than Bauer that started this fire?
I think so. I mean, I think that it could have been an accident, but I also think Mace is right. Like, I think he could have been trolling, and it just completely backfired, and now he looks like a jerk, and so they made up this crazy story. I'm completely on the fence.
John, you said Trevor Bauer is a troll. He was trolling everybody during this offseason. I think he was trolling people even up until the last possible minute, and that's why we actually saw that image of a Mets cap autographed by Trevor Bauer. And now I think he's making good. He's like, I felt really bad about it. In fact, I almost even went and signed with him. I felt so bad. No, he does not feel bad. I saw the back and forth with Noah Syndergaard. He does not feel badly about this.
Well,
does not.
I don't want him to feel badly about it. I'm a Dodger fan. I think he should own this persona that's out there about him, that he trolls everybody.
I don't think you have to coax him into that. I think he's going to continue to own that. He is a troll.
Yeah. So
and will continue to troll.
I think guys like that tend to play better when they own it rather than apologize for it. So I'm okay with Trevor Bauer trolling the Mets.
Lindsay, you followed him for a long time. What are the odds we get apologies from Trevor Bauer?
I don't think he's apologizing for anything.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, I don't think he kind of did in a way for the whole Mets thing. Like, sorry, Mets fans, this isn't how what I meant to happen.
Sorry, I told
donate
you.
Money. I mean, he did donate money to one of the Mets charities or someone's charities, and that was kind of his apology, I guess.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I think as long as Trevor Bauer pitches well, I think it's all going to be gravy, right? It's all going to be easy. If he doesn't pitch well, and I have no reason to believe he won't, but if he doesn't, if he scuffles to some degree, all of the trolling and the back and forth and the online debates and arguments with other players, and all that stuff, I think will get tired and will get old. John, coming up next for you, angriest sports fans on Twitter. You will not believe who they are.
Like they all belong to the same fan base?
Same sport.
Okay.
I've got that coming up next for you. 877-710-ESPN. Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And you can always email the show, venicemace@gmail.com, or you can use John's address.
venicemace@gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
Gmail or email, whatever works
for
you.
Yeah, either one will get to us. So, and 877-710-ESPN is the number. Phones are always open. So, John, I found this to be really, really interesting. So when I think about angry fans, I don't necessarily think of the fans of this sport as being the angry ones. So online gambling, some sort of organization, conducted a study in which they took data from BuzzSumo and analyzed social reactions on Twitter to each sport to find out which group of fans interacts with the most anger. So the angriest sports fans on Twitter are from what sport?
Is it a major sport or a minor sport?
Well, I guess you'd have to say it's a major sport.
I'll say soccer.
Soccer is number two, 28% of their reaction on social media can be defined as angry.
Well, I don't think it's hockey because they let them fight. I don't think it's...
Hockey is number six, 13%.
I don't think it's basketball.
NBA does not show up in the top 10.
NFL, they just kill each other. It's not baseball.
NFL's number four, 21%.
It's not baseball, is it?
Baseball's number three, 26%.
What am I missing?
What sport has the most angry group of fans?
No way it's golf, right?
It is golf.
What?
42% of tweets about golf are angry tweets. Angry tweets. Now,
like, what's an example of a
golfer. Well, no, you tell me. You're a golfer. Where's the anger about golf? Is it because somebody misses a putt?
It could be, but everybody misses putts. Maybe it's...
People who also play golf?
Yeah, maybe that's tied to it. Like, one thing I know that drives golfers crazy is if you get stuck behind somebody who plays really slow. I mean, it is... I've seen guys, like, almost come to blows over it.
But you don't necessarily take out your phone and say, these guys are playing so slow.
No, you just complain to the club.
Take a picture of them and tweet it out.
But yeah, I don't know what, like, professional golf, what the big complaints would be. That seems odd to me. Well, I mean, I can't even think of a complaint of golf, unless you're, like, a racist and you don't like the black guys golfing. What could it be?
Yeah, it has to be... I mean, are people gambling on golf?
Oh, yeah.
As I'm an avid golf watcher myself, that's probably
Are you part of golf Twitter?
I remember, like, looking back on a bunch of my old tweets and thinking, like, man, I get so mad about golf because you get so mad about missed shots that, like, it compels you. I feel like, you know, it's just like a lot of things. You react more to the things that tick you off than you do the good things. Like, I'm much more likely to tweet like, oh my God, I can't believe you just missed that shot, than I am to be that was an amazing putt.
Part of this is Twitter as a vehicle is negative. You know, like most of the posts, like go look at your timeline at any point, it's somebody complaining about something.
Don't you think? I think Twitter's half and half.
I think it's like 70-30, I feel like.
I think because we work in sports, it's mostly... really think so?
No, I think it's like the biggest cesspool on the internet.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It is. Now, you can kind of control it by choosing who you follow. I follow way too many people. Like, Mace, do you have your Twitter open?
No, but I can do it real quick.
Okay, I'll open mine too. Mine's not open either right now, but if you look, I think I follow over 1,000 people.
Yeah, I follow 847 people.
I need to make, you know what we should both do?
What?
Block party.
No, I don't believe in the block party.
These wouldn't even be blocks. These would be eliminating. I follow 1,865 people.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. So I think that if I cut that in half, and I just focused on eliminating people that bitch all the time.
Yeah,
it would be Twitter would be a better experience.
Yeah, I don't believe in blocking people. I've never blocked anybody because my skin is thick. I don't really deal with it. I mean, you get under my skin a little bit, but for the most part, I don't even care.
I don't block people as much as, like, the other day I was...
Ramona, I know, blocks a lot of people.
Well, she has to. Have you ever seen her mentions?
Yeah.
By the way, it's much tougher on women. It's almost criminal. Lindsay, I can't imagine what, if somebody disagrees with you, how they come at you. But the interesting thing is, like, the only time I really, like, unfollow somebody... Like, if a Laker fan texts me and says, hey, will you give me a follow? I want to send you some stuff. I'll always do it. But somebody who had done that maybe a year ago, the other day posted something, like, super X-rated. And it showed up in my timeline. And I thought, I got to unfollow this guy.
See, that's why I leave my DMs open. Even if you don't follow me, you can still send me a message.
So people will send you pornographic stuff? That's why you leave your DM?
I've never gotten any porn. And by the way, now that you mention that, probably I will wind up getting porn. Just because you mentioned that.
Come on.
Now. Starfish and Coffee. Golf fans on Twitter are snitches. How many golfers have lost strokes and been penalized by comments made by people on social media? That is true. That has happened a bunch of times, right?
What has happened?
Guys have... They snitch on golfers.
And
they wind up losing strokes.
Or get eliminated. Like,
get eliminated.
That guy put a towel down and Neil put his knees on the towel because he didn't want to get his pants dirty. That's an illegal aid. That should be a 2-stroke penalty. And then
that's an illegal aid, putting a towel down so you get your pants.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Would be if let's say my ball's stuck under a tree.
Yeah.
And I took a club and pinned back a branch of the tree and then hit it. I can't do that. I can't take a towel. I can't take a. You can't move the ball ever unless it's on the green. So there are these really archaic rules that, you know, it makes golf fun because you got to police yourself. But people see it on TV and they just report these guys.
Yeah. All right. 877-710-ESPN. Coming up next for you, John. Do the Angels have grounds for a lawsuit?
I saw this. I'm fascinated by this story.
I will argue they did.
It's got everything. It's got lying and potential racism and cheating and everything.
All kinds of stuff. That is coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah, yeah. Rain outside. And my power was out most of the morning, John. Apparently, there's like a fire at some sort of switching station or something like that. And you forget that once your power goes down, it means your coffee machine doesn't work.
I'm surprised that doesn't happen more often.
Your computer doesn't work. At least on Wi-Fi, you lose your Wi-Fi, you lose your TV, you lose everything. Thankfully it came on in time. I know there was a backup plan. I think we were going to emergency brake last for Ramona at some point, but thankfully it came on back in time. So, John, I wanted to, before we get to this Angels thing, I wanted to touch on something you brought up off the air, which is last night, as the Lakers lost to Phoenix, Devin Booker was ejected from the game in the third quarter. And, you know, all I know is from what I see on the TV, and Stu Lance said he must have said a couple of the wrong words, something like that. Do you know exactly what was said or why Devin Booker got jacked?
No, and to be honest, Mace, I don't care what he said, and I'm not kill the refs guy. I actually, because I spent 10 years as a sideline reporter, got to know a lot of these guys. And I like some of them, and I think there are a lot of good officials. As a matter of fact, I knew a couple of the guys working last night, including the guy who threw Booker out.
You did.
I'm not going to throw him under the bus by saying his name. But
right.
You can't do that. The people aren't tuning into games to watch the officials ref. They're not. If Devin Booker swears at you, and Mace, I would encourage you and everybody listening, if you get a chance when you're around a computer and have a minute, they said he threw the ball at one of the refs. He bounced the ball with some zip on it at the ref. But to say that he threw, see if you can dial it up while we're sitting here talking.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
To say that he threw the ball at the ref is a gross mischaracterization, and I'm a Laker fan. When he got thrown out,
I thought we were going to win the game.
It obviously improved my team's chances of winning, and I hated it. So did Michael. We both reacted the exact same way. Devin Booker is a matter of fact, earlier yesterday, Mace, he had been named the NBA's Western Conference Player of the Month. He was having one of the best months of his career. He's an all-star. If he snaps and blows off some steam and you want to give him one technical, you can. But to give him a second technical and eject him from a competitive game, I thought was too much. And I hope the refs talk to the other refs and say, look, here's an area where we can get better. Michael tells stories all the time about when he would complain, and he said he didn't. Michael never got a technical his whole career. But he said even when star players like Magic or Kareem would complain, the official would turn to him and say, shut up, you big baby. Quit crying and play. And these officials don't do that. If you say, hey, that's not a foul, don't effing call that, they'll immediately tee you up. And what I would do if I was an official is I would say, hey, I thought it was a foul. I called it. Stop. I don't want to hear any more about it, or I'm going to give you a T. But those warnings don't even come. Booker didn't even lose his temper, and they threw him out.
Yeah, the video feed I'm watching doesn't have any view of actually Devin Booker being ejected. So I can't see
right. but
if he threw the ball back
it,
or whatever.
I've seen it multiple
was.
Times. I didn't like it. I thought I wouldn't want it
so
to
So you think a player should be able to say anything?
Within reason. I personally mean, you know, we've had Monty McCutcheon on the show, who I've known for a long time. And I remember when he came on, I said, Monty, meet my friend Mace, who says the referees suck and they're terrible. And he was a good sport about it. And you remember he kind of talked you down from it. And
oh,
said,
yeah.
Here's why we do what we do. But I think most people look at the game the way you look at it. And that you're not tuning in to see free throws and fouls. And but if a player ever did something like put his hands on a ref
or had a violent act
towards another player, go ahead and eject him. Short of that, you would have to – you could put together
– Oh, there it is. I just saw it.
Now, would you describe that as Devin Booker throwing the ball at the official?
No, I would not.
Right.
That is ridiculous. He tossed the ball to the official, maybe with a very, very small amount of mustard on it. Very small.
Right. Certainly not enough to warrant a tech.
Oh, God, no. If that's what he got ejected for, that's an absolute
joke. That was
joke.
One of the tees. And apparently the first tee was something he said, and that was the second one. I just the best officials in the history of the NBA managed the game. And that was not managing the game. I thought
no, that was terrible. That was terrible.
I would hate to see that happen to LeBron or AD or one of my guys, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if that's what got him jacked, that is just a joke. That's a total joke.
And he's a great player. I love watching him play. So,
oh, he's fantastic. You know, yeah.
I thought they messed that up.
All right, so yesterday, there's this thing bouncing around. This guy named David Sampson, who was the Miami Marlins president from 2002 to 2017, has a podcast now. And he's been promoting it, and he appeared on the Lebatard show and talked about this. Albert Pujols is listed as 41 years old, but David Sampson says that's not true. The ex-Miami Marlins president says not one person in baseball believes Pujols is his listed age. He's not the age he says he is. And no one in baseball believes it. He signed a 10-year contract with the Angels after the 2011 season when he was allegedly 32 years old. Now, the Angels are still paying for Albert Pujols.
This is the last year of the deal coming up.
Last year of the deal. So that means that when the Angels signed Pujols, if Sampson's right, and if this is an open secret in Major League Baseball, was he 33? Was he 34? Was he 35? Because if he's 35, that means he's now 45, and no wonder he's not especially productive. $240 million over 10 years was big money to drop on a guy who was 32, let alone a guy who was, let's just suppose, 35 years old. Do the Angels have recourse here?
I had written this down almost exactly the same way you did, and I was asking it. And when I first wrote it, I thought the Angels did. But the more I think about it, here's Sampson's comment again. The amount of fraud that was going on in the Dominican back in the day, the changing of names, the changing of birthdays, it would blow your mind. So he says there's not one person in baseball, not one executive, who believes Albert Pujols is the age he says he is. If that's it, if that's Sampson's case, I don't think they do have a leg to stand on, because anybody else could have signed him. And according to Sampson, they all knew it. So, you know, if you sign it, I've heard this. I used to hear this about Adrian Beltre all the time, that he lied about his age. And in Beltre's case, he apparently did it so he could get to the major leagues quicker.
Right.
But if that's a thing in baseball, if the Dominican players are lying about their age and there's no way to prove it, there's no way to go back and get hospital records, or the hospitals were not organized enough where they had computerized records or whatever the case is, then I think I would qualify that, Mace, as an inherent risk, and the Angels should have known better. And if I was a baseball arbitrator, or if I was on a jury, I would not refund the Angels their money. I would say you should have known better. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting because, and it comes down to what Sampson said. It comes down to, did everybody know? Because if everybody knew...
He says, clear as day, there is not one baseball person, not one executive. That was his exact wording. So that is literally everybody, right?
Yeah, that would be inclusive of everybody. That means the Angels would be included in that, and that means they would have made this deal with their eyes wide open, right?
Yep.
In other words, they knew that he was older than he said he was, but they made the 10-year offer anyway. So, no, in this case, I don't think there is recourse for the Angels. And by the way, I don't know if they even if they didn't know, I don't know if they would necessarily take a player to court or try to eject out of a contract or anything like that. But if it was an open secret and the Angels made the offer anyway, they're the ones that were stuck at the other end of the deal. I mean, how old do you think Pujols is? Is he 43, 44, 45? He's supposed to be 42.
Yeah, I don't know. And I think that if you look at the way baseball, and every team pretty much has at least a couple of Dominican guys in their system, right? Baseball is that big down there. If they were to rule in favor of the Angels, it would topple the sport because then it would affect every team, right?
Every team and every player who may have a birth certificate that is different from the age that they have stated. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, but it's a fascinating case, isn't it, that you have to kind of figure that into the equation?
It really is. And I guess, I don't know, I guess I've always gone on the assumption that that some of these players are not necessarily, and it gets speculated about all the time, right? Some of these guys aren't the same age that they say they are.
Yeah, and then when they do, the Dominican agents and Dominican players says, "Well, that's racist. You're calling me a liar." And apparently, it turns out a lot of them are lying.
Yeah, so no, a lot of them.
Then you don't want to be the team that doesn't believe in the Dominicans because they all talk to each other, and you want to treat people fairly. But I don't know. I think the Angels went into this, as you say, with their eyes wide open.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you, John, a new way that you can get around town in a faster way than an Uber, and a question about my brother, the poker player. That's coming up for you. All right. What's going on? It is Wednesday. I got to look it up to find out sometimes. Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you. And without you, we wouldn't be able to do this dumb show every day. So, John, this is really fascinating. So, a lot of us, we will use, especially in non-pandemic times, you use Uber, right? So, you get around town. I need to get across town. Maybe I've been drinking or partying, or maybe I just don't feel like driving, don't have a car ready for a particular day. And to get you across town costs 60, 70 bucks, right?
Yeah, it depends where you're going, but sure.
Yeah. There is a brand new flying taxi network that is in progress right now. It is expected to start in 2024. This is a company called Archer. They say they're currently in the certification process right now with the FAA, and we target to get our through certification by 2024. The network of air taxis consists of the first urban electric jet, which is a vertical takeoff and landing aircraft. So, in other words, you
just
take off by going straight up.
Okay.
They can travel up to 150 miles an hour, and the cost would be about $3 to $4 per passenger mile. What do you think?
Pipe dream.
You think it's a pipe dream?
Mace, we're already in 2021. You know, I was told electric cars were going to be here by 2020.
Well, they're here.
Where are they?
Electric cars?
No. I mean, driverless cars.
Oh, driverless cars. Well, they are being tested right now.
Right. But I'm just saying, it always takes longer. I don't think in 2024 we're going to be flying around like the Jetsons. Do you? Like, what you're saying is, I'm going to come over to your house for dinner. You live
Correct.
In Venice. I live in Manhattan Beach.
Yep.
But we're having dinner at 7, and the freeways are absolutely jammed. So
you call Archer.
I call Archer the air taxi. It will descend on my house in Manhattan Beach and land in the street. I will get in the air taxi, and it will fly me how high in the air? Like 1,000 feet in the air?
Does not have specifications on how far it will fly.
This is
how high it will fly.
This thing won't be ready for another 10 years. I would say 2030 at the earliest. You really think they can get this done by 2024?
Yeah. The weird thing about technology is it goes faster and faster and faster. It builds upon itself. So,
right, but I'm just saying the safety aspect of it is going to be hard to authorize.
It will be difficult. Who authorizes
there will be an
them
accident,
to do it?
You know, and as soon as there's one accident, the politicians will overreact and shut the whole thing down and... I think we're 10 years away.
Yeah, here's the thing about autonomous driving, and this is going to happen. And I've said this many times on the show, but my laptop would be a much better driver than me. A computer drives better than a person. And that doesn't mean that there won't be any accidents. It just means there will be fewer accidents.
Creeps me out.
Yeah,
car pulls up to my house, no driver in it. I open the car door, I get in, and the car starts driving. I have no control.
Imagine you get to control the music. You don't have to listen to what the guy's listening to. You don't have to deal with an annoying conversation. No, it's perfect. All right, so this is an ongoing debate at my house about my brother Brian, who plays a lot of poker, and I have played poker with Brian, and he is really, really good.
Okay, this is your older brother, right?
I'm younger. I have two younger brothers.
I thought Brian was older and Travis was younger. You're the oldest?
Yeah, no, this is the one. Yeah, I'm the oldest. This is the one who's closest to me in age.
Okay.
And right now, technically, he's not working. He's taking some time off.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
But he's playing poker every single day.
Okay.
He lives down in Fort Lauderdale, and he's often suggested the idea that he would consider becoming or would be able to be a professional poker player. And my argument, and I actually believe, having played with Brian, that I believe he's good enough that he could make a living at it. But Juan says there's no way you can't make your life as a professional poker player. Now, I've tried to explain this to him over and over again. When you play blackjack, what's the edge? Like 51-49? The house has a 51-49 advantage?
Yeah.
Something like that.
That's if you play everything right.
When you play poker, you're playing, the house takes a rake, but you play poker against the other people at your table. That means you're not playing against the house where there's a distinct advantage.
Correct.
Do you believe it's possible that my brother is making money as a poker player?
I do, but I've told you this story before. So years ago, you and I would do a lot of ads for offshore casinos.
Yes.
And one time, some of the sales guys came to me and said, "Hey, will you do this, you know, ads for 3 months for this offshore casino?" And I said, "Sure." And then they said, "Okay, we'll give you a choice. They'll pay you like $2,500 for doing 2 weeks of ads, or they'll give you $5,000 in casino money." And I said, "Well, just give me the casino money. I'll just cash it out and I get paid twice as much."
Sure.
Of course, I didn't cash it out. I started playing poker. And I ran it up to 12 grand. And I had all the thoughts that Brian had. Man, I should do this as like part-time, as a hobby to supplement my income. I was super conservative, always waited till I had the nuts, and then I went all in. I was like, I folded if I didn't have anything good. I thought I was really smart. Sure enough, I got into a no-limit game. I got dealt three jacks and two aces came up. On my down cards were three jacks and two aces came up on the board. And so I had a jacks over aces full house. And a guy had aces over kings and he beat me.
Mm.
And I got cleaned out. And then, Mace, I put my credit card down and started taking my own money.
Oh, no.
I only did it for $300. I lost that $300 and then I said, I'm done. Kind of like what you did with last week when you were gambling with real money. When you were
lost on the Super Bowl, lost on a couple of Lakers games.
Right.
And I said, that's it. I'm closing the account. I'm wagering no more real money.
Here's what I've always wondered, and I would be wondering if I was Brian. If you lose like that, if you have a bad beat hand like that, How do you know the computer didn't take you out?
Well, no. He's playing in person.
He is.
He's going into casinos and playing at the tables.
Okay, so that's better.
So but... he's not the house is not cleaning the computer's not cleaning him out.
Okay, so that's one thing that's better. But have you ever seen the movie Rounders?
Oh yeah.
If I ever had a bad beat, even as him, Brian, in the casino, I would wonder, are two guys in on me? It's the old line about if you look around a poker table and you don't know who the sucker is, it's you. That's what I would worry about. I don't think poker is in any way an honest way to make a living. I think there's an underbelly to it.
Wait a minute. If you're playing fair, you don't think it's an honest way to make a living?
How do you know you're playing fair?
No, I mean you individually are playing fair.
Correct.
In other words, if I know I'm not cheating, how am I not playing fair?
No, you are playing fair. But how do you know we're not playing against Edward Norton and Matt Damon? That two other guys at the table are dealing from the bottom of the deck or not playing it straight up. You know what I mean? You can't. There's no legislative body. There's no policing.
Well, wait a minute. Casinos do operate under gaming laws.
Right. But how would you know?
Because people go to jail when they get broken?
Yeah, but when's the last time you heard a casino going to jail? I mean, my point is, this all could be in my head.
But yeah, I think it's in your head. I have a friend who, his name's Andrew, and he doesn't do it anymore. But when he was 21, he grew up in the suburbs of Las Vegas, like not on the strip or anything. But he was really good at poker, and he decided after a year of college, you know what? I'm going to go travel around the world and be a professional poker player, just like your brother thinks he can. And you know what? Yep. He did. And he won a crap ton of money doing it, and he did it for like 3 years and traveled all around the world and was in some really big tournaments. I think he said he won one major tournament, and then after that he said he just kind of got tired of it because it was a weird lifestyle. But he did it, and he was only 21, so he couldn't have been that good, right?
Yeah, my brother goes to the casino every day. He plays down in Fort Lauderdale, and he says, I'm going to the office for the day. And I don't know, it's the only job he's got. The only job he's got is all he does is play poker and fish. It's kind of, that sounds
like
Florida,
a great life.
Doesn't it?
I was going to say,
like a great
why
life.
Can't we do that?
Welcome to Florida. Fish and play poker. Yeah. No, I strongly believe he's making money. And John, I'm telling you, him and my nephew Hunter, I've been at tables with them, and they have absolutely cleaned people's clocks. They are so good. I can't wait to get back so we can actually have one of those
Quick story about that. One of my best friends from high school and I went to Vegas once, and we ended up at the same poker table. So we said there's going to be a code word or a code topic that if one of us has the nuts, has an unbeatable hand, bring up the Pittsburgh Steelers in any context.
Okay.
To tell the other guy to get out.
Get out of the hand, right.
So one time there were two kings on the board, and I had two aces, and then the board flipped an ace. So I now had an aces over kings boat. And I said, I just casually in the tank, I said, hey, who are the Steelers playing next week? And he and my friend looks at me and he goes, I don't know, but wherever they're playing, I'm going to that game. And I went, what do you mean? He goes, I can't lose. I'm going to that game. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I've got the nuts. I've got aces over, I had three aces and there were two kings on the board. And yep. I couldn't understand what he was talking about. And I kept throwing money in. He kept throwing money in. He was trying to talk me off it. I'm trying to talk him off it. And we get to the end and he had two kings. He had four kings.
Wow.
And he took me down.
So did he successfully talk you off of it or no?
No. I stayed in.
You stuck with it.
I wasn't going to fold aces over king's boat. And he had four kings.
He had four kings. Wow. My brother Brian just got back, and we'll call him in this next segment. I want to talk to him, being a professional poker player. Okay. And coming up next, a major announcement. It will change the way your afternoon happens every single day. That's coming up now. Oh, you know what? That people are immediately jumping to conclusions. It will change your afternoons forever. That's coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.